That's right. To build up the body.
Amen.
Build up the body.
Amen.
I like these two words, actually and practically.
Amen.
Not just talk about it. We've been talking about it for a long time. Right? Talk about it, read about it, all kinds of talking. But not the proper kind of practice that will bring it about. So may the Lord vitalize us to cooperate with Him for the building up of the body. Why should we build up the body? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I heard it over here. So that the Lord can come back. We build up the body of Christ. Just like those Old Testament saints built up the temple so that the Lord would come according to prophecy for the first time. So we today are building up not a physical temple, but the temple of the Lord, right? A spiritual body made up of real people. Right? And building that up will enable the Lord to come back again. You have to realize, dear saints, the greatest unfulfilled prophecy in the Bible is in Matthew 16, I will build my church.
Amen.
It has not happened yet. It's unfulfilled. I hope the Lord will give us some further light tonight concerning our part in this. We need to build up the body so that the Lord can come back, so that the kingdom can come in.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come.
Amen.
This is our prayer.
Amen.
But together with that prayer, we need to be practical.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need to be practical to build up the body of Christ, the temple of the Lord today. This is God's present move. Well, in this fourth message, I don't know how long it's going to go, but you'll have probably a lot of time. I've said this before. You'll probably have a lot of time to speak. And I would love your speaking, right? This is a conference, right? A conference. We confer together. It's not just me. It's you. It's all of us. It's the body,
amen,
right? We build up one another through our speaking, our prophesying. So get yourself ready. You can share on 1, 2, 3, or 4. Please don't share on 5. The need, here is the title for tonight. The need for a new generation. Let me repeat that. The need for a new generation. Prophesied in the book of Psalms. We read the verses. This is the generation. There is a generation that seeks the Lord's face.
Amen.
That means they are very intimate with the Lord. They're eye to eye with the Lord concerning His purpose. His purpose is their purpose.
Amen.
There is such a generation. And after that is uttered, it talks about lifting up your head, O gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. So what? The King of glory will come in. The King. The King of glory will come in. That's the kingdom. This was the cry in the Old Testament. Now we find ourselves here today, right? In need of a new generation. This kind of generation that David spoke about in Psalm 27. A new generation that ascends the hill of the Lord. The holy hill, right? Of Zion. Right, that seeks the Lord's face. You know, that's full of meaning, to seek the Lord's face, not just to seek the Lord, seek the Lord's face. Amen. The Lord's face will indicate what he is after and whether or not he is pleased with how you are going on. Oh, seek the Lord's face so that what? A building will take place so that the King of glory may come in. You know, if you pray, read Psalm 27, you can touch there, I believe. We used to pray, read this a lot in Eldon Hall. And you know that song we sang? Oh, walk about Zion. That was written back then, as were many of the wonderful songs that we have. Lately, nobody writes songs. This is an indicator of something. I don't want to get into that. Right? Oh, we used to pray, read, and we touched the Lord's heart. Oh, how he wants that generation. Amen. This is the generation. Amen. And that's the generation we're talking about tonight. The need for a new generation. And this new generation, the title goes on, which is brought out of everything that is routine. Maybe this will offend you. Everything that is routine. Let me say something right at the start. Routine is versus being vitalized. Routine is versus vitality. If you're in a routine, you don't need the Spirit. Am I right? You just follow your routine. You know, whatever it is, you follow your routine. You don't need the Spirit. You don't need the Spirit's leading. You've got your way. You've got your behavior all nailed down. Consider as I speak, is this us? It is. It's hard to say. Well, let's get into the outline. I love the first point. Let's all declare it.
Our God is a living God.
Let's declare it again.
Our God is a living God.
Our God is the living God. A lot of verses we could have put down for this, you know. I like that song, Our God is Living. Say hallelujah. He's living in us. Say hallelujah. We taste his riches. He is our portion. Just say, oh Lord, to taste and see. Our God is living. And he's living in us. What does that mean concerning us? We ought to be living, right? The living God is in us. Therefore, we should be living. And, you know, the mystery of it all is that we're not. We very much are like that branch in John 15. Right? We're in him. The sap, to some extent, is in us, but we're not very living, and we're not fruitful. We need to consider this. Saints, I want to be honest. I was in the full-time training. You know, the trainees appreciated me because I was honest. I was honest. I want to be honest. I'm not an Oscar. Oh, everything is fine. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. Everything is fine. I don't want to look. I don't want to look. No. Our God is the living God. Point A, we should match him. Matthew 22:32 talks about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. Are you living? Perform for me a little bit. Are you living? Stand with your spirit. We're living. Yes, we're living right under the ceiling right now. We're living. Right? We're living. Because our God is the God of the living. I love this. We should match him. And then point B, the church is the house of the living God. The living God. You know, the living God needs a living house. The living God cannot inhabit a dead place. It doesn't match. The church is the house of the living God. Saints, we are all very familiar with these verses, but we need to consider God is living and the church is the house of the living God.
Amen.
How about actually? Actually, not doctrinally, but actually. See, we must be careful not to fall away from the living God. That's what Hebrews 3 says. Be careful not to fall away from the living God. It is possible to fall away from the living God. And if you do so, you're dead. And D, listen to that. Let's all read this point. Hallelujah. How about let's read that again? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. No shortcut. If there's a problem with our being living, here's the solution. We need to contact him. He is the living God. And we need to, I love this, absorb him. We have a hymn. There was an old Christianity hymn, Take Time to Be Holy. And we used to sing it. We loved it. But you know, you could take as much time as you want to try to be holy and you won't make it. You need, if you want to be holy, you need to take time to absorb him.
Amen.
He's the Holy One.
Amen.
So we used to change this. You know, on our hymnal, it's take time to behold him. I really like that. Take time to behold him. But I like even better, take time to absorb him.
Amen.
You know, I've got it in front of me here. Take time to absorb him.
Amen.
Speak oft with thy Lord.
Amen.
Abide in him once in a while.
No.
It says always. And feed on his word. Wait thou in his presence. Submissive and meek. Forgetting in nothing. No thing. His blessing to seek. Then I'd like to read verse 2. Take time to absorb him. The world rushes on. Have you noticed that, saints? If you get up in the morning and you don't take time to absorb him, you are caught up in the rush of the world. And before you know it, it's 8 o'clock at night. You lost the day. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The world rushes on, but as it let it rush, spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus and absorbing Jesus, like him, you will be. Your friends in your conduct, his likeness, his expression, will see. They will see it. I love this hymn with absorb. Saints, we need to take time to absorb the living God. We need to contact him. It seems like sometime we do everything but this. We do everything but contact the Lord. We have a problem. Oh, let's call this one. Get on the internet. Check this. We do everything. Am I right? Except contact the Lord. He's the source. He should be number one. He is the living God. Absorb him. Spend much time with him. Saints, do you spend a lot of time with the Lord? Some of you do, I know. But I think most don't. What do you expect? You don't spend much time with the living God, and somehow you expect to be living? No. We need to spend much time with him. How do you get to know someone? How do you get to know what they really want? What the desire of their heart is? You have to spend time with them. You have to be with them. You have to converse with them. Not, Lord, gimme, 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 goodbye. And the Lord is up there. Hey, wait, 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 wait. I've got something on my heart. I'd like to fellowship with you. But, you know, we're just, then we go from there to rush on with the world. We need to spend much time absorbing him to match the living God. Amen. Saints, this is what we need. We need to match the living God. Amen. Living God, living people. Amen. What a testimony that is. Amen. People see that and they want in. The way we are these days, people look at our meetings, they want out. I'm sorry. Our meetings, you know, I've mentioned this before, the empty seats, the gaps, lack of vitality, lack of morale. Sorry, I'm being honest. You know, they look at that, the new ones, I don't want it. And even us, sometimes if we're really honest, we don't want it. Am I too much?
No.
I don't think so. Although Jim Spate's the only one that said amen. Oh, we need to spend time with him, saints. Concerning this, there is no debate. So, our God is the living God, and as such, he needs a new generation. There is the need for a new generation. Now, you're probably sitting there and thinking, what does that mean? We're all fired? You know, we're all kicked out. I'd be the first one to get the boot. We need a new generation. You failed. No. No. We don't need different people. We need people, the existing people, who are different.
Amen.
Did you catch me?
Yes.
We don't need a new people. Actually, we do. But we don't need to get rid of all of us. We need to be renewed. We don't need different people. We need people who are different. That is, people who are new. Today, point A, and this, of course, is Brother Lee's utterance, and I'm not ashamed to be following that brother. He helped me so much. as a young brother, as a middle-aged brother, and then a brother that was creeping toward you know what. Today, most Christians are abnormal, including a number of us in the recovery. Brother Lee was honest. I really appreciate him. A vital, remember, that means a living and active group, is a group of normal Christians. Normal Christians. Then we have this point. Carrying out the vital groups is to change the generation. Did you catch that?
Yes.
You like that?
Yes.
Maybe not. But here is what Brother Lee is offering to us. We need a new generation for the Lord, the body to get built up, for the Lord to come back, bring in the kingdom. Carrying out the vital groups, he said, is to change the generation. It's not just, well, we'll give it a try. Well, I knew it wouldn't work. No. We go to the Lord. We get vitalized. Am I right? We repent. We confess. We deal. We reconsecrate. We get revived every morning. We live an overcoming daily life, a victorious daily life, right? And then we allow the Spirit to group us together. That will change the generation. Two, we cannot go on in a dormant situation in the recovery. You know what dormant means? Sleepy. Asleep. You know that verse we read this morning in Romans? You know, it's high time. Was that the verse, you know, that we awake out of sleep, knowing the time. We cannot go on in a dormant situation in the recovery, our brother said. And he said further, three, we need to come out of the deadness of Sardis, the lukewarmness of Laodicea, that was our last message, and the barrenness of the degenerating believers. We need to come out. Saints, are you willing to come out?
Yes.
We need to come out.
Yes.
We may be in something that's just killing God's economy. We need to come out. And see, we need to bring the recovery. We need to bring the recovery. You know, one time we had a problem in our locality. And so I called Brother Lee and I told him what the problem was. And I just, you know, highlighted to him, you know, what was going on in our locality. And, you know, it was like, well, Brother Lee, you know, here's the situation. And plopped it on his head. You know what Brother Lee told me? I'll never forget. He said, Paul, is this my recovery? Is this my recovery? In other words, is it Witness Lee's recovery? No, it is not. It is the Lord's recovery. And we all bear the responsibility. We need to bring the recovery into another age. I believe Brother Lee did all he could to share with us, to give us the blueprint, right, for how to have the church life in a new way. Now it is up to us to bring the recovery. This is on our shoulders, dear saints, not somebody else. It is on the shoulders, especially, as we'll see in a moment, of the one talented members to bring the recovery into another age with a new generation, a new people. We read that verse where the Lord said, "Behold, I make all things new." You know what that means? That means he is the factor of newness. Amen. The Lord is the factor of newness. It doesn't mean like the magic fairy, you know, boing, you know, Mike, you're new, boing. And, you know, boing, 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 boing. You know, I make, you know, in that way. No, he is the factor of newness.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's not something that he does. It's who he is.
Yes.
Oh, we need to bring in a new generation by being fully occupied with Christ as the factor of newness.
Amen.
Of course, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it talks about if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, they have become new. We need to bring the recovery, saints, I repeat, into another age with a new generation. This is the job of the overcomers. Will you be an overcomer?
Yes, amen.
I'm going to keep checking with you. Let me ask you again. Will you be an overcomer?
Yes.
That, it's a choice. And you can choose not to be. That's fine. But get ready after the Lord comes for something most unpleasant. You have the choice now. D, God's biblical, new, ordained way, whatever you want to call it, that Brotherly found as he combed through the New Testament again with much prayer. He found this biblical, new, ordained way to have the church life. And here we are again, has four stages. Sounds like a broken record. And actually, Brother Lee sounded like a broken record. The four stages. You know, we repeat this in the outline so that we'll get it. What did he find that they were doing in the New Testament? How were they having the church life? What were they busy with? For sure, they were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship. But that's only the beginning. If you keep reading, not only through Acts chapter 2, through verse 46, but the rest of the New Testament, you find out that in addition to continuing steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, which is the base, they were busy with people. New ones all the time. The gospel was going out. The gospel was going out. The gospel was going out. And, you know, the Lord was gaining new ones in all of these cities. All of these cities. New ones. New ones. Fruit. New fruit. And what else were they doing? Feeding. They were taking care of the new ones. You know, as I said this morning, you don't say, "Well, Billy, I did my part. I gave you birth. Good luck." What kind of parent is that? Right? No, you need to take care of them. And what a blessing that is. What a blessing. That'll save you from the world in a practical way. And from yourself. You know, the Lord is so wise. You know, concerning the world, we could exhort people. Mike, don't love the world. Don't love the world. Don't love the world. And one more thing, don't love the world. I mean, we can do that, and perhaps we need that kind of exhortation. But another way is to help the saints bear fruit. and take care of the fruit. In that way, by automatically, they don't love the world. Why? They don't have time for it. They are involved with the divine enterprise.
Amen.
God's economy. The building up. The materials of which are men. Begetting, feeding, teaching, and building. I hope that we would muse upon these four words. That's what they were doing in the New Testament. That is what we should be doing today.
Amen.
Then point one under D, most saints in the recovery like, Brother Lee said, they like this God-ordained way. They like it. But, and you notice I put the but in italics. If and when we actually begin to practice it from the foundation, that means being vitalized and step by step, we will be a changed generation. We need to move from liking it to practicing it. Nobody will say, I don't like the God-ordained way, because Brother Lee's the one that presented that to us. So you wouldn't say that. But you like just to leave it, I like it. I like it. But I'm going to continue doing my own thing. No, if we actually begin to practice it, we will be a changed generation. Allow me to read another quote. This is from that same book, The Training and Practice of the Vital Groups. It is page 85 and 86. It's just one paragraph. Don't panic. From the beginning, Brother Lee said, I have pointed out that you should not form a vital group. I've already mentioned this. You have to produce a group, not form one. Forming, organization, producing life. How do you do this? You do not do it by the way of a movement or by the way of propaganda. You know, this is why I said at the very beginning of this conference, what I'm looking for is a response.
Amen.
It might only be one person. But so be it. I think it would be more. We don't do it by propaganda or by a movement. The way to produce a vital group, listen, is by you yourself going to the Lord. This is where it starts. Don't talk about it, just do it. You should have a burden for this because you see, if you're honest, that, and I'm reading, you are old, dead, lukewarm, fruitless, pitiful, and numb with no feeling. I mean, Brother Lee really laid it out there. Let me read that again. If the shoe fits, you have to wear it. You should have a burden because you see, you have a realization that you are old. When you talk about your experience of Christ, you're talking about something that is way in the past. Maybe. You're dead. You're lukewarm. Fruitless. Pitiful. And numb. with no feeling. This should cause you to go to the Lord to repent. Thank the Lord, saints. Today is still the day of salvation.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Today, it's still the day of salvation.
Amen.
From what? Our numbness, our deadness. We need to be saved by going to the Lord to repent.
Amen.
This is the very start of the vital group.
Amen.
That's the start of getting vitalized.
Amen.
I say again, go to the Lord. Without going to the Lord by yourself, what you do means nothing. How I thank the Lord for Brother Lee. Before he went to be with the Lord, he felt he owed the recovery this kind of a work, because he had done a lot of observing for many years. When we begin to practice, we will be a changed generation. And there will be opposition, as I mentioned on Friday night. If you just talk about it, that's all right. As far as the enemy is concerned, yeah, let them talk. Let them talk. Let them talk about, you know, the God-ordained way. Talk about this, talk about that. But once you begin to take some practical steps, there's going to be trouble. Look at the picture in the Old Testament. You know, when they returned, I told you on Friday night, they returned from Babylon. Everything, we're back in the land. Let's grow some corn, you know. And everything is fine. But once they began to build the temple, the trouble started. And it's going to be the same with us today. If we just talk about the building up of the body, that's fine. No problem. As far as Satan is concerned, let him talk. But once we take actual and practical steps to build it up, like getting vitalized, reconsecrating, begetting, nourishing, perfecting, and prophesying. Once we do that, there will be opposition. But saints, you know what I say? Let it come.
Amen.
Greater is the one in us than the one who is in the world.
Amen.
When we mean business, it's not okay with the enemy. Two, we will get out of the old generation when we begin to practice and become, we will become a new generation. Saints, be encouraged. This is what the Lord wants to do with us. He doesn't want to leave us in a dormant situation. Point three, a quote from Brother Lee. This is what I expect to see in the recovery, a change of generation. Brother Lee spoke that in 1993. He expects to see a change of generation in the Lord's recovery. I have to read of another quote. We must get out of the deadness, lukewarmness, and barrenness. We must get out of the oldness and staleness. We must get out of the routine, the formality, the silence. So I'm not the only one that's bothered by gaps. And the prayers of the traditional way. Saints, do you have meetings where you know who's going to pray, who's going to prophesy, and pretty much you know when they're going to pray and when they're going to prophesy, and furthermore, you know what they are going to pray and what they are going to prophesy. What is this? Living? No. That is a routine. And Brother Lee is expecting to see a change of generation. We must get out of oldness, the staleness. We must get out of the routine, the formality, the silence. I already read that. The prayers of the traditional way. Listen, we hate deadness, lukewarmness, and barrenness. We are struggling to fight them down. We need a change from the old way to the new way. Am I speaking to ears that are not dull tonight? Because I'm repeating a lot. We need to change from the old age to the new age in God's ordained way with four steps. Here he goes again. Begetting, feeding, teaching, and building. We need a change of generation. Now, saints, we're going to go on to a potentially offensive point. And that is Roman numeral 3, being brought out of everything that is routine. Maybe I'm wrong. Are you for this?
Yes.
A very weak response there. I'm sure glad Mike is here and Jim Spade. Right? Are you willing and happy to be brought out of everything that is routine?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about things that are good routines, like you better have breakfast every morning. That is a good routine. Right? Polish your shoes. Oh, Lord. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about routine in the church life. Routine, I say again, is versus vitality. The two are opposites. Satan is happy with routine because it is dead. It is behavior. Point A, another quote. Brother Lee just says it better than I could. I have the burden to help us get out of all kinds of formality and routine. He had the burden. We hate any kind of form. We hate formal meetings. We hate rituals. We hate routine meetings, routine prayer, routine speaking, routine reading, routine sharing, and routine prophesying. We hate it, Brother Lee said. Why? Because it's dead. Anything that is routine, he said, we hate. We want to be vitalized overcomers in the church life who are one with the Lord to conquer deadness, lukewarmness, and barrenness. Would you say amen?
Amen.
I wonder if Tuesday you'll say amen. B, even if we have dropped the old way, we still have left the new way in the printed pages of the ministry. I would say on our bookshelves. And coming here for the last 1 year, I am standing against that. To leave the new way in the printed pages, I'm here to shout about it. Sorry. And then listen to this point under B, 1. In the 38 years, since 1984, we still have not had an adequate and sustainable beginning in our practice of the new way. You talk about opposition. You talk about Satan fighting against this. There's the proof of it. 38 years, Joe. That's a long time. That's when I talked with Brother Lee and he asked me why the increase is so low and so slow. And I said, well, the people aren't open. In other words, it's their fault. Brother Lee didn't say anything later. I found out his main concern was with the deadness of the saints. Yet, dear saints, 38 years have gone by. I just thought about that. It almost makes you weep. We have not had an adequate and sustainable even beginning in our practice of the new way. You better believe the Lord will have something to say about this at the judgment seat. Lord, cover me. I don't mean to you, but he'll have something to say about it. Who do you think was speaking through Brother Lee? Was that just his thought, his invention? No. That's what the New Testament shows us. That was God speaking through our brother.
Amen.
And yet we disregard it. Saints, what I'm saying should bother you a little bit. But I'm seeing some blank stares. Again, point two, in teaching, we remain very good, but not so in practice. This implies, saints, that's a quote from Brother Lee, this implies that only teaching is not enough. Just to teach, 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 teach. We need it, but only that is not enough. And Brother Lee himself eventually came to the conclusion. I've told you this over and over again. He gave the life study, life study, life studies, life study, conclusion, conclusion messages. And then he looked at the recovery, the increase is low, and he said, I'm concerned about the deadness of the saints. That drove him, it was the Lord, drove him to pray, to fellowship with the Lord, to comb through the New Testament again, to find out the proper way, practical way to have the church life.
Amen.
Teaching, fine. Practice, not fine. Three, what we practice is a routine church life. Listen to this. A routine church life by maintaining the Lord's Day meetings, the prayer meetings, and the service meetings. This is Brother Lee. This is the one that brought the recovery to this country. And this is his analysis. To practice the routine church life, there's a typo here. Does not require, not and, but an. Not A-N-D, but A-N. It does not require an overcomer price to pay. Just to be in the routine church life, you're not paying anything, right? You're just, you know, there's routine, follow the routine. Oh, I know the ropes. I see this in the training, you know. Trainees come in, you know, they're, oh, I'm in the training, you know. But then they learn the ropes, right? You know, Jen, she was there. I'm not saying she was like this. I don't think she was. But, you know, they learn the ropes and then they just, even in the training, they could just fall into a kind of a routine. And I militated against that in my fellowships. To practice the routine church life doesn't require any kind of a price. Another quote, forgive me. Perhaps many in your locality are merely living a routine church life. All of these routine church life people are defeated ones. They are not overcoming. But you have to rise up to pick up the way to be vital. Never mind them. You could pray for them, but you need to rise up and pick up the way to be vital. Don't condemn. You need to take action. Then you will be a vital person in your local church to produce and build up a vital group, a vessel through which the Lord can operate for the actual and practical building up of his body. Oh my, you know, I'm not here to talk about or to promote the vital group, but I can see God's wisdom in that small group. Don't you realize Lord Jesus and the 12 disciples, that was a vital group. That was a vital group. And the Apostle Paul traveled around. He had a vital group, Timothy, Luke, and a few others. And the Lord was able to operate through that vessel. It is corporate, but it is not so large that it is ineffective, if you know what I'm trying to say. It does not require an overcomer price to be paid. You will be a vital person in your local church to produce and build up a vital group. The Lord will then gain some overcomers in your locality, and there will be a way for the Lord to accomplish his eternal economy. Saints, let us give the Lord a way. A practical way to carry out his economy at long last. 5, should we not pay our full attention to the practical steps of the biblical way? It's a question. Shall we not? No. Yes, we should pay our full attention. This is the constricted way that leads to life. You know, I read those verses for years, you know, narrow is the gate and constricted is the way that leads to life. And, you know, now with what Brother Lee opened up, as far as the biblical way, it is constricted. It's very constricted. You can't be so loose. You know, you're meeting with those saints and other saints in homes 80% of the time in the church life. And you don't have a lot of time on your hands, your own time. It's constricted. It's constricted, but it leads to life.
Amen.
It leads to life. What life? Not only here, but in the kingdom.
Amen.
The blessings of eternal life in the kingdom. I really see these verses now under new light. I'm not suggesting that the Lord was talking about vital groups as the way, but the shoe sure fits today. The constricted way that leads to life. And saints, an important point, 6. We should not merely talk about it. This is what I wish we would avoid. To talk about the vital groups. You know what that brings up? Issues. Issues. We don't need to talk about it. You need to go to the Lord and get vitalized.
Amen.
And practice.
Amen.
We need to practice.
Amen.
The steps. The results, I repeat, will be an encouragement to the whole church. Don't talk. We can fellowship, but there's a big difference between just, you know, kind of talking about it and really fellowshipping about it with prayer. That's good, but there should be some practice. You know, I wonder as I'm sharing all this, am I going to get even one person that's going to respond to all of this? Oh, Lord. I should exercise my spirit of faith.
Amen.
C, where can we see groups of saints practicing the New Testament revelation today? Who is denying him? So this is a quote from Brother Lee. I don't just didn't put in the quotation marks. Who is denying himself? Who is actually being renewed, transformed, and conformed to the image of the one who has passed through death and resurrection? Where can we see it? Saints, it would be in the vital groups. Gradually, this is subpoint one, we may have drifted into practicing a routine church life without that much leading of the Spirit among us. You know, if you're in a routine, I repeat, you don't need the Spirit. You got the routine. Just like, you know, you go to a denomination, you walk in the door, and they hand you the program. You don't need the Spirit. You know, you've got your order of, you know, what you do. You don't, you know, look to the Lord. You got it right there. That's a real routine. And we're becoming more and more like that, except we don't pass out a program. Lord, forgive me. Actually, no, I don't say, Lord, forgive me. I say, Lord, empower me more.
Amen.
Where can we see it? Gradually, we may have drifted into a routine church life without that much. I'm not saying there's none, but there's not that much leading of the Spirit among us. If we have, again, a routine, we don't need the Spirit's lead that much. You act your way, I act my way. We behave. Saints, are our meetings just behavior? We listen to messages, am I right? We appreciate them, we go over them, and then what happens next? You forget them. Am I right? Oh, that conference that we had, oh, it was really good. Oh, what did you see? What did you appreciate about it? Well, it was about God. I'm not joking. You know, saints, if you had a vital group with new ones, that ministry that faithfully comes to us, you would put it to use right away for those new ones.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
I'm right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm right. And that would help you to continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching.
Amen.
But as it is now, it's just for your constitution or whatever.
Right.
We talk about the body, but actually it's just for us.
Right.
I may not get invited back here again. We listen, we appreciate, we may even talk about it, but then a few days later you forget what that brother said. You know, the young people, we were talking about this in Chicago recently. A lot of the young people today, I don't know what it's like here or in Baton Rouge or in the other places, they've got one foot in the church life and one foot out. They're not really all in with the church life. Maybe you're superior. We need to warn them, of course. Watch out. The church is an ark, like Noah's ark. It is a protection. It's a restaurant and it's a protection. We need to warn them. But on the other hand, we need meetings full of life that are attractive to the young people. Oh, saints, we need a new generation. We need to be a new generation, finished with routine. There's nothing attractive about routines. Nothing. You know, people have had it with routines. If meetings are full of vitality, spontaneity, and new fruit, they will be attractive. You know, when I was in Eldon Hall, I don't like to say too much, but you didn't want to miss a meeting. It was very spontaneous. And I remember one night, I mean, the Lord, after the table, it was open for the saints to share. And so the saints would share, they would consecrate themselves or consecrate so-and-so to Christ in the church. And then a week later, that so-and-so would show up and come into the church life. We saw this again and again and again till, you know, we weren't surprised anymore. But I remember one night we were there and the Lord had been touching a particular brother concerning, you know, being genuine. And he wore a toupee, we found out. Because in the meeting, he stood up and he said, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me about this. And he pulled it right off. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, that is the kind of thing that we would like. But my point is, the meetings were so spontaneous. That brother, by the way, is still in the Lord's recovery. Hallelujah. Minus his toupee. Praise the Lord. You know, the young people, they're not stupid. The reason they have one foot out is they're not really sold on, you know, what we're doing. They're not sold. They're not attracted. We need a new generation. And we need to be done with routine. We need the freshness of our Christ, who is the most attractive one. He is the greatest magnet in the universe. Amen. We need to express him fully and freely in all of our meetings. Then two, under C, do each of us continue to act and behave without very much adjustment, learning, and actual transformation? Think about it. If we're in a routine, that's what we're doing. Not much adjustment, not much learning, not much transformation. We just talk about these things, but they're not happening. All this routine causes us to lose the impact in winning the sinners and lose impact spiritually in general. With this kind of routine that we need to come out of. One more quote. May I?
Yeah.
Brother Jim, I'm sure glad you're here. We love the recovery. We love the Lord.
Amen.
We love the church.
Amen.
And we are so good, Brother Lee says. We behave ourselves so that we do not offend anyone or make mistakes in the church life. But this is not the church life. This is a kind of top social club. The church life, however, is a group of Jesus lovers who seek after him.
Amen.
He's a magnet to them, and he will be a magnet to the rest of the saints and to the new ones who may come to visit. Well, point D, the example of Eldon Hall in the late 60s or the early 70s, I happened to be there at the peak during those years, what Brother Lee called the peak. It was a special time. It was a great revival. It was a collecting of seeking Christians from all across the United States. I'm so thankful the Lord brought me there. You know, we'll tell our stories in the New Jerusalem, how the Lord brought us to the Lord's recovery. I was on my way to Dallas Theological Seminary. I was within months of going. And then I came to the recovery, and Dallas went out the window. I mean, the seminary. And you know, I didn't make it to Dallas till years later. I went for a conference with Brother Lee. And then eventually, we moved to Dallas for a little while. And Carrie, my dear brother, took me to see Dallas Theological Seminary. I saw it and I left. You know, when I wrote them, I touched the church life. I was in the church life for 2 days. I was clear. I couldn't go to seminary. That's how dry I was. I was clear. And I wrote them a zealous letter. Dallas, I wrote them. So I got back this polite response, like, you'll be all right. We'll keep your application on file, they said. And it's probably still there on file. And I'm in the Lord's recovery. Amen. Hallelujah! Yeah. And I long to see meetings today that are as fresh and spontaneous and attractive as they were when I came. Amen. I'm just a witness. I'm sorry. I'm a witness. I can't forget it. I guess that's why the Lord has kept me going. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. Freshness, unpredictability, spontaneity, and attractiveness. Nothing routine. He didn't know what to expect. Just the continual and mighty flow of life. No exaggeration. You wanted to sit on the front row? Get there half an hour before the starting time. Right? We have an empty seat right here. And there. Oh, Lord. The big meetings, are they like that today? No. But I tell you, saints, I have the feeling that the recovery of big meetings that are akin to Eldon Hall, the root to those kind of meetings is through the vitalized members of the vital group. Yeah. I'd like to repeat that. The root to those uplifted meetings like we had 53 years ago is through our being vitalized. Yeah. And even going on, if the Lord so leads, to become a vital group. We will affect the church life and the meeting life.
Amen.
I firmly believe it. Then a big final point. E. I would like somebody to read for us Ephesians 4:16. We're all familiar with it, but I'd like somebody to get up, and everybody is a techie now, but you don't see Bibles. All you see is phones. That's fine. But somebody get up and read, okay, Dave, and read it slowly so that we could say amen. Ephesians 4:16. Listen to this. Amen.
Through every joint of the rich supply.
Amen.
And
through the operation in the measure of each one part.
Amen.
Causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love.
Amen. Thank you, brother. You hear that? Especially the operation in the measure of each one part. You know, in that verse, there's two categories of saints. There's the gifted ones, the joints of the rich supply. There are some among us that are like that. But then there's everybody else, right? There are the each one part. Now, those joints of the rich supply, they may be two talented people. And their function, if you stop and think about it, is mainly in the big meetings. Am I right? They do, and we appreciate it. The brothers do a perfecting work in the trainings, especially, somewhat in the conferences. They perfect the saints. But they perfect the saints so that the saints do the actual work of the ministry.
Amen.
Which is the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So in Ephesians 4:16, you've got the joints. They are giving the rich supply. We had a marvelous joint with us for so many years by the name of Witness Lee. How we enjoyed his supply. Today we have other brothers, right, endeavoring to supply. We're thankful. But in this verse, there's another group. That is the operation of each one part. Each one part. And I suggest to you that whereas the joints of the rich supply may be multi-talented, the each one parts are probably one talented. And they listen to this and think about it. They are the ones who do the direct building up of the body.
Amen.
Think about that.
Amen.
Now, according to what we've seen this weekend, who are the ones, what do we call the ones who build up the body of Christ?
The overcomers.
Amen. This verse is suggesting that the one talented members who would rise up and do their knitting.
Amen.
You know, whereas the multi-talented brothers, they mainly do their work in the big meetings. Everybody else mainly does their work, their knitting in the homes.
Right.
On the one hand, we have 20% of the church life, big meetings for perfecting and other things. But then the 80% of the church life is with these one talented members.
Amen.
In the homes.
Amen.
Carrying out the knitting, 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 knitting. I don't know how to knit, but I know it's very intricate. It is very delicate. And the result is multifariously beautiful, depending on who does the knitting.
Amen.
It is in the homes. We, the one talented members, are being perfected to do the building up. Right? The operation of each one part. Let me hear a strong hallelujah,
hallelujah
from each one part.
Hallelujah.
Another one.
Hallelujah.
A louder one.
Hallelujah.
This makes Satan tremble. And I'll read you a quote tomorrow, so you make sure you come back. How this, in fact, the rising up of the one talented member. This makes me crazy. The rising up of the one talented members. Wow. It says, you know, they are operating. Each one part is operating. And that operating, it says, causes. Causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, the growth of the body is the organic building up of the body. It's just like our building up is through growth into an adult. You know, Billy at one time was here. Now Billy is here. What built him up? Growth. Of course, eating and growing. This point makes me want to go through the ceiling. Each one part refers mainly to the one talented members. That is us. These do the knitting. Where do you knit?
At home.
At home. Do sisters knit anymore? You know, that in itself is a kind of degradation. Sorry to say. The knitting will cause the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. This is the goal of God's economy in this age. Who does the actual building? You need to say strongly, we do. It's not left to the multi-talented brothers. You know, when we think of overcomers, we think of brothers like this, you know, a Paul Bunyan in the spiritual realm, you know, a giant overcomer. No, no, no. I don't know what you have down south here. Pecos Bill. Whatever. No, the overcomers, saints. May the Lord unveil us. According to Paul's word here, the builders of the body are the one talented members. These are the ones who get vitalized, who repent, right? Who confess, who deal with the Lord, who reconsecrate, who get revived every morning. We all can do that, right? And who live an overcoming daily life and allow the Spirit to group them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
To have 80% of the church life in the home.
Amen.
This makes Satan tremble.
Amen.
And he's been fighting for 38 years to keep this away from the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
I don't know why. I don't know how. But I'm here. I'm here in these meetings to let you know what I believe is really on the Lord's heart today.
Amen.
He that has an ear, let him hear.
Amen.
Let him hear.
Amen.
These do the knitting. This is a real overcoming.
Amen.
But it's normal. No doubt the knitting is to what? Beget, nourish, perfect, and prophesy. No doubt. That's the knitting. And the yarn is people. The yarn for this kind of knitting is people. This will cause the growth of the body. No sweat. It will cause the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. This is the goal of God's economy in this age. I think I repeated those points. D, the knitting is intimate and intricate. It mainly takes place in the factory. It mainly takes place in the homes. And listen to this point. Since 80% of the church life should be in the homes, these one talented overcomers have 80% of the church life and the building work in their hands.
Wow.
I think we all should read that point.
Yeah.
He, since
80% of the church time is meeting in the homes, these one talented overcomers have 80% of the church life and building work in their hands.
Hallelujah! This is like a declaration of independence, except it's dependence. Oh, Lord, raise us up, Lord, amen, as the one talented members.
Amen.
Lord, bring fire to the earth,
amen,
to raise us up.
Amen.
Last point. I think we have a lot of time, Brother Jim, right? Do we have till 9?
Yep.
All right. You're going to have a lot of time to speak.
Yeah.
If you don't, I'm walking out. What shall we do now? Not walk out. Number one, each one part. That is the one talented members. You know, the Lord knows that that is where the problem is. In Matthew 25, he didn't say much about five talented, two talented, no problem. But he spent a lot of time talking about the one talented member. Because the Lord knows, he knew then, he knows today, that the problem is with them. I don't know what goes through the minds of those of us that are one talented. Well, I don't have much. I don't have much. You know. I'm just going to lay back here and just let it be, right? Let it be. Laissez-faire. I'm not so wonderful. Why should I break my back? You know, let so-and-so, too talented member, let him do it. He gets all the appreciation anyway. Let him do the work. Let him earn it. I shouldn't say that. No. Saints, no. This is the enemy. That's the enemy. Each one of us should what? Rise up. And do what? Go to the Lord. To the living God. And pray, pray, pray. The Lord is waiting for this. Saints, I really believe it. I really believe the Lord is waiting for this. For the one talented ones. For all of us. We need to rise up. Number two, be vitalized. That's what we should do. We should go to the Lord. Pray. And be vitalized. The foregoing messages went over that point. Then three, in cooperation with the operating God. And this is so glorious. We need to be willing. Even make a decision. To pay the price to be the overcomers. Whether we are young, middle-aged, or old. We need to make a decision. You know, saints, that sounds like, oh, you know, you hear that, oh, that sounds like self-effort. No, that is your will. That is your will. That's not self-effort. To make a decision is to exercise your will. And let me tell you something. For all these years that you've been in the organic union, something has been happening to your inward parts. You are not necessarily feeling it. Although sometime you realize, oh, my goodness. Like with me, you know, I'm in the ministry. I'm praying for decades. And I, like anybody I love in the United States, I like football. I like to watch football. College, pro, whatever. As long as it's football. But I noticed, you know, after years of, you know, being in the Lord's dispensing, I just have a hard time watching a whole game I'm not saying I couldn't, especially when my son visits, sorry to say, but I just can't. My tastes change. Something on the negative side has been discharged. Natural things, worldly things, sinful things, discharged. But then on the positive side, my faculties are being uplifted.
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
What are my faculties? My mind, my emotion, and my will.
Amen.
It's being uplifted. Brother Lee had three words. He said, they're being resurrected. They are being uplifted. And they are being enriched.
Amen.
Ultimately transforming
Amen.
Our entire being.
Amen.
Saints, we have to believe it. Satan is a liar.
Yeah.
You need to exercise your being uplifted will.
Amen.
To make a decision.
Yeah.
To pay a price to be the overcomers. Whether you're young, middle-aged, or old. I'm for the old, because I am old. And four, we need to struggle with endurance. We have verses here. Paul exhorted us, don't give up. Struggle with endurance, not expecting a quick result in those four steps. We need to struggle. Thus, last point. We would truly gain the increase for the Father's glory and advance the Lord's move to build up the body of Christ among us unto his coming back.
Amen.
Resulting in his coming back. Saints, how about this?
Amen.
Oh, we need a new generation
Amen.
That is finished with routine.
Amen.
And we, as the one talented members, need to rise up and even to take the lead, to bring in the new generation, to be done with routine, to be new and vital as the overcomers. I'm finished.